Let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. All right, Ephesians chapter 5. Well, when you walk in the middle, okay, there's things that I always miss. So thank you for catching up with me. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading in verse 6 and go down to verse 20. And it starts out and it says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words." How many of you have ever been deceived? Anybody ever say something to you and they deceived you and ended up doing something different? Okay, so let no one deceive you, this says, because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Now, we kind of put this in context last week, so you would have to go back and read the previous verses to kind of put this all in context. But he's talking about being deceived. And then he goes on, verse 7 says, "Therefore, do not be partakers with them," those who are deceiving, okay? "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord." Now, that's a key verse right there. Find out what pleases the Lord. Okay? Don't just randomly, float through your life. Find out what pleases the Lord and do it, okay? Okay, then it goes on, verse 11, "Then have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it says, 'Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." How many can say amen to that? The days are evil, so be wise in how you live your life. Then it goes on, "Therefore," verse 17, "therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to look into your word and, Father, to read your word. And, Father, even if we were just to stop right here, we say we read the word, now go and do it. Lord, that would be enough. But I pray, Father, as we take these next few moments, let your Spirit speak to our hearts. Lord, let your Spirit direct our hearts as we hear the words, as we read them from the Scriptures. Lord, that you might be glorified, that you might be honored, and Lord, that you might take us, Lord God, and lead us in the way that you would have us to go. Father, that we might know what your will is or what pleases you, and Father, that we might follow in your footsteps and do them. And Lord, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, a couple weeks ago, we talked about this. We've been going through the book of Ephesians. If you haven't been here, we've been going through the book of Ephesians, and I've been touching on little pieces. And then I stop and then come back next week and stop. And so it's kind of been sporadic. So this morning, what I want to do, I talked about this 2 weeks ago, and that the verse that I'm going to start out with says, "Do not be partners or partakers with those who are doing these things." Okay, so as I said that, and I was thinking about it later after I left, and like Sunday afternoon and Monday, I was thinking about this particular verse, and I was thinking, I hope I did not come across as we shouldn't associate with people who are involved in sin. And the reason I guess I got to that point, because here it says, I want to use the scriptures that I used last time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said. So I use that scripture, and then I use this one in 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. Now, I read these scriptures and other scriptures, and I hope that it doesn't give you the impression that we aren't supposed to have anything to do with people who aren't saved, because that's not what it's talking about. Let me go back and use Paul to define what he's talking about in his own words, and this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11. And he says, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Okay? Paul said that. How many know you can say something and not really mean what people hear? How many have ever done that? Okay. So Paul did say that, and he says, this is what I said. Do not associate with them. Now, he begins to explain this, and he says, verse 10 says, not at all meaning that people of this world who are immoral or greedy or swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or slanderer or a drunkard or swindler, not even to eat with them. He's not talking about the world, okay? He's not talking about people who don't claim to be believers, who don't claim to be Christians, and they're walking and they're doing these things. They're just immoral. It's just their nature, because they don't have a new nature yet. What he's talking about is talking about believers who claim to be Christians, who claim to be followers of Christ, and yet they are sexually immoral. They are idolaters. They are doing these things that Paul is talking about right here. And so this is what he's talking about. He's not talking about you can't have any friends outside the church. If that's what he meant, like he said, in that case, you would have to leave the world. That's not going to happen, or that's not going to work. So he's not talking about in the sense that you can't have friends that are sexually immoral or go out to dinner with people who aren't Christians. Yes, we need to do that. What he's talking about is people in the church who claim to be godly people, and yet they still follow the way. All right. So is that clear? Go out and make some friends. Go out and make some friends. Now, I want you to. You need to. You need to do that, because how can we, the church, influence the world if we disassociate with them? We need to be involved in their life. We need to be involved in what's going on in their life, because if we don't, we're never going to win them to the Lord. Now, if you go back and, okay, we were talking about Paul in 1 Corinthians. Okay, now Paul says that in 1 Corinthians, he talks about there's a guy in the church who is sexually immoral. He's doing things that not even the unbelievers do. And so he says, don't associate with him. But then in the second book of Corinthians, he writes back to the church and he says, okay, now go and bring him back. Bring him back. So what he's saying, he says, okay, now that he's been punished, let's bring him back and love on him again. Let's bring him back into the family of God. So there's a point where people are just rebelling against God that we need to, and they won't listen. They won't hear you. There comes a point where we just need to say, okay, there's nothing I can do. But see, the goal of this whole thing is in Matthew chapter 18. Let me read this to you. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, and I'm going to begin in verse 15. And it says in verse 15, it says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen, you have won them over. Now, what is the goal here? To win them over, right? Not to point out their sin. But I feel sometimes many people in the church, and the church has honestly gotten a bad rap because they point out people's sin. And the goal is not to win them over, not to build that relationship with them. And Jesus is saying this. Jesus says that the goal is to win them over, not to point out their sin. And I think if the church would take that aspect right there, that verse right there, and use that as a soul-winning tactic versus pointing sin out. How many have ever heard those sermons or those street preachers that are crying out, repent or go to hell? Yeah, we've probably all heard them. But Jesus, or Paul, says it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance in Romans chapter 2. It's the goodness of God, not the condemnation of God. God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:17. The world needs to see the love of God through you and I, through us. The goal is to win them over. James chapter 5, verse 19. Do you have that one, Bill? Dee Dee, who's up there? Hiding behind the screen. Dee Dee, okay. James chapter 5, verse 19. All right, it says, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover a multitude of sin. See, the goal is to win them back, not to expose their sin. Okay, I know it said in our text this morning, it said that we're supposed to expose the deeds of darkness. Now listen, okay? It said that, and I'm going to talk about it because I think we don't always get this clear. It says, therefore, in verse 11, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Do you realize you can expose darkness without pointing fingers at people? See, and I think sometimes the church has been more involved in exposing people than sin. We've been more quick to point our fingers at people who might be involved in that sin rather than saying, God's got a better way. Now, let me show you an example. Acts chapter 17. Yeah, let me go. I don't think I gave this one to you, Dee Dee. So I'm going to go to Acts chapter 17. I'm going to begin reading in verse 22. This is Paul, who had been in Athens and was walking around this pagan city, worshiping idols, going through the city, walking around, seeing the prostitutes, seeing the temples of worship to foreign gods and foreign idols, seeing all of this stuff. And yet then when he's brought before the Areopagus, he says in verse 22, then Paul stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, people of Athens, I see that you are very, what's it say? Religious. He doesn't say you're a bunch of sinners. He looks at him and says, okay, I perceive that you're really a religious group of people. And then he goes on and he says, for as I walked around and I looked carefully at all at your objects of worship, I even found an altar there with this inscription, to the unknown God. So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I am going to proclaim to you. And so he begins to tell them who God is. So he didn't come up and point his finger at them. And if you put all this in context and you read the whole thing of chapter 19, Paul isn't about pointing out their sin to them, but pointing out a better way. Yeah, you're worshiping even an unknown God, and you don't even know who this God is. Let me tell you who he is. You don't know him yet. You see, the world doesn't know Jesus yet. If they did, they would serve him. They would see this is a better way. And so what we need to do, and we need to be about, is preaching the love of God. Because God wants all men to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says that God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. He wants them to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. It doesn't say that he wants them all to admit that they're dirty, rotten sinners and going to hell. But see, that's kind of what the church has tried to do. But God wants them to come to a knowledge of him. God wants them to come to a knowledge of him. Listen to this one. Over in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23, it says, I do not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. Think about that. God does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the sovereign Lord. Rather, I am pleased when they turn from their ways and live. So over in Ephesians, it says, find out what pleases God right here. This pleases God when people turn from their own ways and start following God. Well, I've already done your homework for you. You should be excited. You found out what pleases God. People turning to him and repenting and not doing the things that they used to do. So now we need to balance this out. He says, all of this is, he's said, and so God loves the sinner. And we've all heard this, and probably some of us have said this. God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin, right? Okay. So in our sharing of the gospel with people, we need to be able to communicate that. Because I wonder sometimes if when we share with people, they get the thought, God hates me because of what I'm doing. No. God loves you. God loves you. Romans 5:8 says, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. While I was still a sinner. Why would he not love you now that you're born again and you still sin? Why is he going to change his mind and stop loving you? He's not. He's going to continue to love you because God is love. He's got to work on us. That you and I, we've got to communicate this love to the people around us. He said in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 5, he says, do not participate with the fruitless deeds of darkness. He doesn't say, don't have anything to do with those people doing that stuff. The people down drinking on the street and going out and partying. And he doesn't say, don't associate with them. He says, don't participate with them. Don't participate with those doing them, those things. Then he goes on in Ephesians 5. Let me get back over there. And he says, verse 17, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And then he goes on and he says this scripture. This is Bible. Do you have verse 18, chapter 5, Ephesians 5, 18? Nope. Oh, okay. Well, if you can, that's fine. If not, I will read it. It says, I was going to try to make you guys read this because I'm not making this up, all right? He says, do not get, you already know what I'm going to say, right? Drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, he's contrasting this. Now, he's not saying, let me cover this first. He's not saying that you're going to go to hell if you have a glass of wine with your dinner. He says, do not get drunk with wine or alcohol, which leads to debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit. Now, if I was to ask you this morning, I'm going to ask you, but I don't want you to raise your hand. How many of you have been drunk with alcohol? Okay, so as I ask that question, you guys are fighting back smiles. See, alcohol has had an influence. See, the word drunk here doesn't mean what I used to think growing up. I thought growing up, if you just had a drink, if you had a sip of a can of beer, you were a drunkard. You were just an alcoholic. Well, I've grown, and what the Bible says here, it says, don't be influenced by alcohol. The word drunk is meaning influenced by a substance. So, how many of you ever had, we have somebody like, there's some several people like this, we know, that it's really hard to talk to them until after they've had a couple beers. And then they'll just talk your leg off. Talk. And then you have some that are, you give them a couple beers and they get really funny. And others get mean. Now, are they drunk? Probably they could still walk a straight line, drive a straight line. They're probably not going to get pulled over if they're driving down the road. They probably wouldn't be considered drunk, but they are under an influence of something else. All right? So when people at the end of the work day on Friday afternoon, they say, I just got to go have a drink. What are they looking for? Something else to influence them. Now, okay, I've touched on what the Bible says, but Lisa and I talked about this the other day, and we had this, it was a great conversation, but we expanded that from just drinking to what other vices do we lean to for comfort? For some of us, it could be, dare I say, food, or how about shopping? I just need to go shop. I need to go buy something. Maybe it's watching TV. I just need to go sit down and relax and chill and watch some TV. What are we looking for in that substance? We are looking for something that we somehow don't have in ourselves. And so Paul is saying here, he says, don't be drunk with wine. Don't be influenced by this other substance, but be influenced by the Spirit of God. Let the Spirit of God influence you. Let the Spirit of God be the one that brings that comfort, that peace. Let the Spirit of God be the one that gets you to be friendlier, gets you to be more talkative, gets you to be more at rest. Because as we go through this, this chapter, this is an amazing chapter. And this is the very beginning of it, okay? This is how you do this, okay? Be filled with the Spirit. Because the days are evil. Because the world really doesn't know how to deal with problems. And Paul goes through this. And he starts out in verse 21. I'm not going to read all these, but I'm just going to point them out. We're going to talk about them later, okay? But he starts and he says, submit to one another. Well, how many know how to do that? Then he goes on, that's just one verse. Then he goes on to the next one. He says, wives, submit to your husbands or your own husbands. And then he goes down and he says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. See, the world doesn't know how to do that. If we continue to go on, chapter 6 says, children, obey your parents, for this is right in the Lord. Then he goes on and he even goes on down to what it says here about slaves to their masters. Well, we don't have slaves and masters like they did then, but we do have employees and employers. And how do we treat one another? How do we respect one another? And you see, here's what Paul is saying here. He says, see, when you're influenced by the wrong things, you're not going to know how to love your wife. You're not going to know how to submit to your husband. Your children aren't going to know, and they're not going to respect you. They won't even know how, because you don't respect your parents. You're not going to be a good employee because you are relying on the wrong thing to bring you comfort. When that boss has to do something that you just disagree with, and you go and have a drink after work because you just can't deal with it. How about be filled with the Spirit? Be filled with the Spirit. Now, it all sounds real, real religious, right? Real easy to do. Oh, yeah. Just be filled with the Spirit. Great. No problem. How do you do it? Well, then he goes on in that particular passage or in that verse. He says, verse 18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. 19 says, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Now, my Bible is NIV. Some of your King James versions or New King James version will say speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Well, how in the world do we do this? And which one is he talking about? Well, I really believe, as Lisa and I talked about this, as we begin to talk about this, it means kind of both of them. Because you're not with me during the week when I need to be encouraged and I'm looking to fill myself up. So I can't really speak to you. And it would be really weird if I went into the kitchen as she's cooking and start singing and dancing and singing songs and trying to encourage myself and her at the same time. She's just going to laugh at me. What are you doing? So, but what we need to do is speak to ourselves with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And I believe this, the NIV has it correct on, like, on church meetings where we meet together as believers and we sing together and we worship one another and we sing songs worshiping the Lord. Singing together, singing or speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs.
When you're praying in the morning or whenever you have your prayer time, do you speak the Psalms? Okay? Here's what I mean. Okay? Maybe you're just a little discouraged and you start praying. You know, there's a psalm that says, well, there's a couple of them that say, "Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in God." There's another one that says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not be in lack, I shall not be in need, because God is my shepherd and he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He gives me a place to rest." And you can keep on going down through Psalms 23. Psalms chapter 1. The one planted by the rivers of water. Oh, man, can you imagine? Just try to picture that picture. You are planted by the rivers of water. Your roots go down deep. And it says, whatever you do will prosper. Leaf will not fail, but it will produce its fruit in its season. You're not going to be uprooted. You're not going to be thrown out. You are going to be fruitful in all that you do. See, I can encourage myself in these words. This morning, I woke up. You know how many wake up a little fuzzy? Okay, I woke up, and so when I woke up this morning, this psalm was going through my mind. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. I was singing this song. Now, this is a song that we sang years ago. I couldn't remember where it was at. I just remembered singing this song. So I had to get up and I went out and looked to find out where this psalm was. Psalms 48 in the King James. And it's word for word in the King James. You go to the other versions and it's going to be a little different. But I just woke up singing, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God." How many remember that song? Some of you do, okay. You guys are old like me then, I guess. So we sang those songs, but see, I sang those songs as a little boy. And now, because I planted those scriptures in my head then, God can bring those back out just as I'm waking up this morning. Just as I'm waking up, he's bringing those scriptures to mind. Now, he does that with psalms and hymns, okay? The hymns, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face." How many can wake? I mean, that's just awesome to wake up singing these songs. "And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." What an encouragement. What an encouragement. Speaking to yourself, being filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns. Psalms are scripture. Hymns are man-made songs. And spiritual songs, or songs from the Spirit. Those are songs that just God gives you and you want to make them up. I mean, I think I did that this morning. There was another song, "Taste and See That the Lord is Good." I know there's a song, but I was not singing the right song, the tune to it. I got the words right in the scripture, but I can't remember the right tune. So I was making it up. Songs from the Spirit. It was kind of a combination of a psalm and a song from the Spirit. But see, all that did was build me up. All that does is build us up. And so it says, don't be drunk with wine, but it gives you a better way to do it. It gives you a better way to find comfort and to find peace, to find joy, to find peace. See, He doesn't just say, don't do this. He says, don't do this, but do this. Now, when we get that figured out, then the world can look at you, those people that you associate with, those people that you work with, those people you might go to have dinner with, that maybe their marriage is struggling a little bit and they really don't know how to submit to their wife or to their husband. Then, because you've been filled with the Spirit, you can speak into their life. Not to condemn them and say, don't do that to him, but say, why don't you do this? Try this. Wives loving their husbands. Maybe the woman has never had an experience to show them how to love their husband the way they should. Children, obey your parents. You know what? It goes on in that passage and it says that the father should not exasperate their children. Well, maybe that father just never knew how to not exasperate him, because that's all he knew. And so that sin is passed on from generation to generation to generation. Well, guess what? I believe that the church is here, this chapter is here, to tell us to know how to stop it, to break that curse so that wives can love their husbands, husbands can love their wives, and children can respect and honor their parents. Now, I'm not going to go into that anymore this morning. We'll talk about maybe that more next week, but I just believe there's a better way. And you and I, the church, are put in this world to show the world how to do that. To show the world how to be filled with the Spirit. To find the comfort, not in a glass of wine, but in the Spirit. Now, I'm not saying you can't have a glass of wine, but that should not be our source of comfort. I'm not saying you shouldn't do these things. I'm not saying you can't have food or eat or have snacks or anything like that. But if that's what we're going to find our comfort, then we need to reevaluate what God's called us to do. Because he says, don't be drunk in wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And maybe wine or alcohol is not your vice, but maybe Snickers, chocolate pie. You might have a different vice. That's not going to last. It might give you a temporary fix, but it's not going to last. Tomorrow, after you binged watch 3 hours of whatever it might be, you're going to wake up and feel the same way you did before, except probably a little worse. But I'll guarantee you this, if you spent all evening being filled with the Spirit, singing to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, if you do that all night, I guarantee you're going to feel different in the morning. You're going to feel better. You're going to wake up with a headache. You're going to wake up feeling, oh, now what am I going to do? God is going to take care of it. But we have to spend time with him. And so it's all about how we fill ourselves up. And so I want to encourage you to be filled with the Spirit, singing to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. This is what the Lord wants. This is what pleases God. This is what pleases God, is when we put our hope and our focus on him. And then he can do his work in us. Because when we put our hope in him, he can heal those wounds that maybe you experienced maybe as a child growing up and you had an abusive parent. He can heal those wounds when you fill up on the Spirit. He can bring that healing to your life to where then you can in turn share that healing with somebody else that's hurting. Maybe you've gone through some difficult situations in a marriage and you have hurts and scars. You know what? Be filled with the Spirit and let God bring healing to those wounds so that you in turn can turn around and bring healing in somebody else's life. Yes, we speak to ourselves with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, but we also speak to others with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So you might have been given a scripture in that time of need that you can share with somebody else. Say, I think I went through something just like you, and this is what God showed me. He gave me this scripture to hold on to, and I want to share it with you. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns. We sang this song. This song was so powerful when I first got saved, and God brought such a healing to my heart when we sang this song. And I just want you to know this. You might have to pull your phone out and play it on YouTube. I don't care. Whatever your platform is you play music on, play it for them and let that song bring healing to them as well as to you. Begin to be filled with the Spirit because God doesn't want you just to stay where you are this morning. He wants to bring healing and restoration to each one of our lives. And there's a lot of us, sometimes we just kind of bury those things behind us and we think, if I don't think about it, it doesn't bother me. And usually nobody else knows about it, so nobody else brings it up. But if somebody brings it up, then it's like, oh, it all comes back. But see, God wants to bring healing to those areas of your life. And it comes not by substance, but by the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Amen?